You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you live from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, sisters, deacons, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. We are so blessed. We are grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We certainly are. We're going to begin with prayer, as we always do, and we're going to be using a supplication. And the supplication comes from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen, the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, you know, it's just that supplication is just so moving because, you know, when Louisa says, and we can also say, you know, there's something yet more surprising that you wish to divulge, to give to us, your children. And, you know, Mary and Jesus also, they use the word secret at times. And, you know, I think we define the word secret with nefarious connotations. It's usually not very good. You know, we're withholding something important. But our Blessed Lady explains what is meant by secret in the language of heaven in what Jesus and Mary are attempting to convey to us. She gives us that light in meditation number one. Our Blessed Mother states, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So not only is it not nefarious, but it's actually a very humble compliment because Our Lady and Our Lord would not be divulging these secrets, these truths, these mysteries to us if they did not feel we were ready, if our heart longed for them, if we were ready to receive them. And again, they are giving them to us, and obviously they believe we're prepared. So we have to also have confidence in ourselves that we're ready for this. Just like St. Joan of Arc, we were born for this. God is with us, and it truly is. I truly believe that. The entire world is going to be moved. It's going to be shaken. I think it's beginning right now. I want to just say hello to Mother and the sisters before I begin with a passage. But I want to begin, you know, we've been talking the last few weeks about, you know, moving God and how to receive this gift and how God really makes it very easy. Today we've got the beautiful day of the presentation of our Blessed Lord. And perhaps we may want to consider presenting ourselves to our Lord as well today. Say, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. And I want to move you, Lord. I want to ask for this gift so that you may give it to me and I may prompt you to give it to all souls, past, present, and future." I'm going to begin with volume 33. It's March 19th, 1935. Very, very powerful. I'm just going to read an excerpt. And this is Jesus saying to Louisa, "My blessed daughter, tell me what you want." And basically he's saying the same thing to us. Tell me what you want. So he goes on to say, "Louisa, if your will wants the life of our will into its own, which is wanted and commanded by us with such great longing, it will have the great good of possessing our life, our will as life. And if it were not so, the sanctity of living in my will would be a difficult sanctity and almost impossible. While neither do I know how to teach difficult things, nor do I want impossible things. On the contrary, it is my usual way to make easy, as much as it is possible for the creature, the most difficult things and the hardest sacrifices. And my love is so great that in order to facilitate her even more, I whisper to the ear of her heart, 'If you really want to do this good, I myself will do it together with you. I will not leave you alone. I will place at your disposal my grace, my strength, my light, and my sanctity. It will be the two of us doing the good you want to possess. Therefore, it does not take too much to live in my will. The too much is in wanting it. But if the creature makes up her mind and wants it firmly, she has already won my will and has made it her own. End quote. And, you know, we couple that with what we've been reading the last couple of weeks. Volume 11, September 25th, 1913, Jesus explains to Louisa and to us, my daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. Accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place. So we know that. And then we went to one more powerful truth, which explains, it guides us, how do we get this? How do we get there? How do we begin this process? And it's volume 23, November 27th, 1927. My daughter, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God to decide to give my divine will reigning in the midst of creatures. Because when God moves and decides, he overcomes and conquers everything, even evils themselves. The other necessary thing is that the creature who seeks it and prays God to give such a great good must possess this within herself, the life of the kingdom of which she asks for and what she asks for other creatures. One who possesses it knows the importance of it and will not spare any sacrifice in order to impetrate it for others, this good which she possesses. She knows the secrets, the ways she must follow. She will make herself importunate in order to conquer God himself. End quote. We can move God, and let's all move God today with the grace of God, with the help of our Blessed Mother, through the intercession of Louisa. Hello, Mother Gabriel, Maria, and the Benedictine Daughters.
Hello, so nice to hello, Peter, and everybody out there. It's nice to be with you again.
What a blessing, Mother. Oh, what a blessing.
It is a blessing. The divine will is such, it's like Christmas every day, you know, and it says that in the volumes, living in his divine will is like Christmas every day. It's such a joy. I was just reading volume 23, March 8th, 1928. It says, after this, Louisa was saying, I was feeling worried about these writings on the divine will. And my sweet Jesus made himself seen in my interior, holding all the volumes written on it, taking them in his hands one by one, looking at them with such loving tenderness as if his heart were about to burst. And as he took them, he placed them all ordered in his most holy heart. I was amazed in seeing how much love he loved these writings and with how much jealousy he enclosed them in his heart in order to keep them. And Jesus, in seeing my amazement, told me, my daughter, if you knew how much I love these writings, they cost me more than the very creation and redemption. How much love and work I have put into these volumes. They cost me very, very much. In them, there is all the value of my will. They are the manifestation of my kingdom and the confirmation that I want the kingdom of my divine will in the midst of creatures. The good that they do will be great. They will be like stars that will rise in the midst of the thick darkness of the human will, like lives that will put to flight death for the poor creatures. They will be the triumph of all my works, the most tender, the most convincing narration of how I loved and do love man. Therefore, I love them with such jealousy that I will keep them in my heart, divine heart, nor will I permit even a single word to be lost. What have I not put into these writings? Everything, superabundant grace, light that illuminates, warms, fecundates, love that wounds, truths that conquer, attractions that enrapture, lives that will bring about the resurrection of the kingdom of my will. Therefore, you too appreciate them and hold them in such esteem that they deserve and delight in the good that they will do. After this, I continued my abandonment in the fiat. I felt all invested by its endless light. And my adorable Jesus added, my daughter, as a soul decides to live in my divine will without giving life to her own anymore, in order to be sure and give her security, I bind her with chains of light, and I do this so as not to take away her free will, a gift given to the creature in creation. What I give once, I never take back, unless the creature herself rejects my gifts. And so I bind her with light in a way that if she wants to, she can go out whenever she wants. But in order to go out, she has to make an incredible effort, because these chains of light will invest all of her acts. And in each act of hers, she will feel and see the beauty, the grace, the richness that this light communicates in her acts. It will form the enchantment and the true eclipse of the human will in such a way that she will feel happy and honored to be bound with chains so noble, and will bring her so much good, and she will yearn for what is human to have life no more in her acts. She will long with ardor for the divine volition to take its place. So as we do these acts and the divine will, God encloses them in this light like a chain all around the act. And it's hard. It would be hard for us to get out of that. We wouldn't want to. But all of heaven too sees that light. All of heaven exalts over what they know is happening on earth, and when a creature does acts in divine will. He says, goes on to say, so she will feel free and bound, but not forced, rather spontaneous of her own will, attracted by the great good that comes to her in such a way as to see her acts surrounded by many circles of light that forming chains transform her into light itself. And in each of her acts, the soul emit many voices, harmonious and beautiful, like silvery sounds, that wounding the hearing of all of heaven will make known that my divine will is operating in the creature. So all these little chains of light cause harmonies. Everything in God created, it's like a symphony. All of his creation is like a symphony. When we put our I love yous on all of these things in creation and they become speaking voices to God, it's like a symphony. Very harmonious, very beautiful. And God hears that. All of heaven hears it. And they know that a creature on earth, a person on earth, is doing acts and rounds in divine will. So, you know, why would we not want to have this gift? Such a tremendous gift. It wounds the hearing of heaven, it says. And it makes my divine will operating in the creature flow everywhere. So as we do these acts and rounds in divine will, no one will see these lights. We're engulfed in light. No one will see that. The saints of this time that's coming in the latter times of the church, those living in divine will, nobody will notice their holiness on the outside. It's all hidden because we're not doing it. It's not us. We're not the holy ones. It's God. God within us doing everything. The saints in the past, you know, they had to work hard at holiness. They had to really practice virtue and make many sacrifices. And Louisa did it all for us. She lived the cross for us. Our Lord lived the cross for us. Our Lady also. Now we can take all of their acts, all of their suffering, all that they endured to give us this great gift, take it all as our own and give that to God too. And we possess all of this. He gives us everything that all the saints did, all his mother, himself, Louisa, all those who did acts and rounds in divine will in the past. We can even probably take acts and rounds of those who are going to do them in the future as our own and give those to God. And then we're just really being engulfed with light, tremendous light that no one will see, only God, and all of heaven will see it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mother, it's almost like
to live this.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's almost like a paradox too. You know, you mentioned about, you know, that's such an important passage too, to understand the divine will, because you mentioned that God is going to surround us with this light, with these cushions, with all these protections so that we cannot fall like Adam fell again. So it's a paradox. Yeah, we have our free will. We can exercise to allow our free will to reign over the divine will, but we never will. And you know, it really, I think it speaks to the point. Remember when Jesus in volume 11, May 18th, 1915, he says, I will place the souls who live completely in my will on earth in the same condition as the blessed in heaven. When he mentions that, okay, think about it. The souls that are in heaven, they never lose their free will, but they're never going to let their human will reign again.
Right.
Only because of these protections. He's going to do the same thing for us on earth. as he does to the blessed in heaven. That's astonishing that we're going to get that gift, that protection, that impermeable defense, not ours, but God's surrounding us. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful gift. And these writings, I mean, they're treasures. They're better than gold. They're treasures. And this is just scratching the surface. When we're in eternity, when we're in heaven, we're going to learn so much more about God. You know, Mother Angelica, my previous superior, said, I remember her saying, in heaven, we will be learning something new about God every moment, every second. For all eternity, you'll never come to an end. That's how fantastic God is. You'll never come to an end of learning more about God's greatness. And so this is the beginning here. We're learning something here about his divinity. The New Testament tells us about his humanity, but this tells us about his divinity. So you put the humanity and divinity together and you get the whole picture, you know. So we need this one. We need this after the New Testament. And you should study and read the New Testament too and the Old Testament. But it puts everything, the Old Testament, New Testament, makes more sense after you understand and read the divine will. Every book that you read after that, all of these beautiful Catholic books that you read, it all makes more sense when you have been reading the writings that our Lord gave Louisa.
Yes,
it all comes alive to you.
It's going to explicate what's already been given, Article 66 of our Catechism. Right. You know, we ought to just get it straight right now, Mother, just to your point. We're going to be in the kindergarten of the divine will for the rest of eternity. So we have
right.
to get used to it now.
But isn't it fun to be in kindergarten? Kindergarten children are happy. They have a good time. They love life. They have nothing to worry about. So let's stay in the kindergarten. That's the place to
be. There was a book written once, too. Everything I needed to learn in life, I learned in kindergarten. It's probably true. Hello, Sister Gloria.
Hello. How are you? Today, I wanted to share from the Passion book, The Hours of Passion, how Our Lady fused herself, how she lived in the divine will. I think it's really important to do the prayer of preparation to each hour before and also thanksgiving after each hour. Because preparation is like a prevenient act. You're offering your intentions and you're offering your will. So I'm going to read the small paragraph from the preparation. Oh, my Lord Jesus, prostrate in your divine presence, I implore your most loving heart to admit me to the sorrowful meditation of the 24 hours in which for love of us you wanted to suffer so much in your adorable body and in your most holy soul unto death on the cross. Oh, please give me help, grace, love, deep compassion and understanding of your sufferings. So here you are setting an intention that you want to complete this act. You want to complete this meditation and carry on with your whole heart, with your all strength and with your soul. This is your desire that you want to do it. And this is the key of living in the divine will, how to act and do the rounds in the divine will. So we are entering into this meditation of the passion. We are laying ourselves before the presence of the Lord. And we are asking God for this necessary help, grace, love, and deep compassion towards God, towards Jesus. And of course, in our daily life, it's impossible to continue to meditate on his passion 24 hours, but we can do it to meditate on this hours that we cannot meditate with our will. By offering our will and with our intention, we can continue on meditating. And love, it is completed in union, just being one, becoming one. It's the completion of love, and the lovers they live in each other. So Our Lady's life was in the life of Jesus, and Jesus was in Our Lady's life. So they were fused in together. So truly, Our Lady is the model of true adoration. So I'm going to read this passage from the 24th hour of the Passion book. This is how, this is the process how Our Lady infused in Jesus. But Portent, while she seemed to be extinguished together with Jesus, I hear her voice trembling and interrupted by sobs say, Beloved Son, O Son, this was the only relief which was left to me and which helped my pains. Your most holy humanity, pouring myself out on these wounds, adoring them, kissing them. Now this too is taken away from me. because the divine will wants it so. And I resign myself, but now, son, that I want it and I cannot. At the mere thought of doing it, my strength leave me and life runs away from me. Oh, please, oh, son, so that I may have life and strength to be able to depart, allow me to remain all buried in you and to take for myself your life, your pains, your reparations, and all that you are. Only an exchange of life between you and me can give me the strength to make the sacrifice of departing from you. So determined, my afflicted mama, I see that you go through these limbs again, and you place your head in the head of Jesus, kissing it. You enclosed it in your thoughts. You take it for yourself as thorns, his afflicted and offended thoughts, and everything he suffered in his most holy head. Oh, how you would want to animate the intelligence of Jesus with your own, to be able to give life for life. You now begin to feel revived by having taken the thoughts and the thorns of Jesus into your mind. So Jesus, so Our Lady with her human will, she went to Jesus. So she placed her head on the Jesus' head. So she poured all his thoughts in Jesus, and then everything she was able to find in him, everything that he suffered with his holy head, she took it. And then she possessed it as her own. And she did the same thing with the intelligence, with the eyes, hands, and feet, with all the body parts. So Our Lady, she poured out all her life into Jesus. And then she took everything that she found in Jesus, all the suffering life of Jesus, to her. So this is the exchange of life, and this is the exchange of love. But how is it possible for us to enter into the divine will? Like we are not able to see Jesus, but then it is possible by having this right intention. Because in the divine will, everything is present and everything is alive. And Jesus, in the divine will, all the moments of Jesus' life and Mary's life is there. It's all present. And Luisa also did the same thing. And then Jesus is inviting us to do the same thing. So I'm going to read this little passage how Luisa did in the, also from the 24th hour. Enclose the thoughts of Jesus in my mind so that no other thought may enter into me. Enclose the eyes of Jesus within mine that he may never escape from my gaze, and his hearing in mine that I may always listen to him and do his most holy will in everything. Place his face within mine so that by looking at him so disfigured for love of me, I may love him, compassionate him, and repair his tongue in mine that I may speak, pray, and teach with the tongue of Jesus. His hands in mine so that each movement I make and each work I perform may have life from the works and actions of Jesus. Place his feet in mine so that each one of my steps may be a life of salvation, of strength, and of zeal for the other creatures. So the hours of passion is offered for everyone, especially for the dying, for the suffering. And it's got such a big value for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is the most beautiful adoration we can give to Jesus. And there's also a little promise that Our Lady, that Luisa asked to Our Lady. Because when we do the hours of passion, we are doing it with Our Lady. And here it says, Our Lady's gonna come to our assist at the moment of our death. She's gonna put the enemy to flight. She will wash our soul with her tears, cover us with the blood of Jesus, clothe us with his merits, embellish us and heal us with her sorrows and with all the pains and works of Jesus. And she's gonna let all our sins disappear. She's gonna give us the total forgiveness. And we will be received into her hand, arms, and she will place us under her mantle, hide us from the gaze of the enemy, and take us straight to heaven, and place us in the arms of Jesus. So that this is great promises and such a great tool to live and fuse in the divine will. So do the passion every day, I recommend.
Absolutely. Great, great advice. Jesus says, too, if one person in every city is to pray the hours of the Passion, that city would be spared. You know, there's just so much here. Again, you're listening to Radio Maria, Christian Voice in Our Home. You know, we're talking about how to obtain this gift. Sister Gloria just mentioned in the passage, too. We're to move God. And we can move God right now. God also tells us, Jesus tells Louisa, that charity is the cog that moves all the other virtues. And we can invoke that charity. We can display that charity. We can exercise that charity right now. Because Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. That's through your prayers and donations that Radio Maria is able to bring authentic Catholic programming to the world, including all the Divine Will programming, including the School of Mary. So please prayerfully consider making a contribution to keep Our Lady's Radio on the air. Again, Radio Maria, founded under the patronage of Our Blessed Mother, the School of Mary the same. Mary's moving each and every one of us. So please, to make a donation, you may call toll-free 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201, or simply go to radiomaria.us/donate. And I'd like to make that offer again today, that anyone that makes any donation, whether it be a recurring monthly, which is the most desirable, of course, or a one-time donation, will receive a relic prayer card of Louisa Picaretta from the Archdiocese of Trani. It also includes a piece of Louisa's clothing. So we understand the institution of the relic when the hemorrhaging woman touched the tassels of our Lord's cloak and was healed instantly. The relic has become a very important sacramental. So a piece of Louisa's clothing in that prayer card for any donation to Radio Maria, 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us/donate. We finally arrive. We finally going back to the other side. God's taking us there, finally. I finally arrived here.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. Now back to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Kevin, from Radio Maria. Again, welcome back, everyone. You know, going into the break, we talked about, you know, if you can exercise that charity, which is the cog that moves all of the virtues. I was thinking over the break about St. James, you know, who tells us in not so many words that if we assist by moving God, of course, to help steer a soul clear from error into the divine light, that we've saved our soul and a multitude of others. So again, not that we're looking to do it for ourselves, but again, this is important to God. And he explains that in volume 11, March 17, 1914, quote, unable to contain the love of the soul who lives in our will, we release it from within us. And we point it out to all people as our favorite, our beloved, that is only on the soul's account and for souls similar to that we let blessings descend to earth, that only for love of such souls as these do we preserve the earth, end quote. So we have a lot of work to do. I mean, no pressure, but the earth is relying on this divine will to take traction. And it is, with or without us, but hopefully with us. Back to you, Mother, sisters.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, sisters.
So, yeah, as how Mother Gabriel was saying earlier, that we, the people that live in the divine will, people like around us, they don't really see if we are living or not in the divine will, because it's something wonderful. And I think our greatest example is Our Lady, our mother. Like, you can see in the presentation of the Lord how she was so obedient to the will of God that she even went to the temple to get purified when she didn't really need it. And she is our greatest example of how to live in the divine will. And I want to read this passage from volume 14, March 16, 1922. Luisa is complaining about how she feels that she's doing nothing. And Jesus always like so loving with her and patient with her. He is telling her like, don't worry, I'll do it for you. And it starts. But while I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus, cutting off my thought, told me, my daughter, it shows how without your Jesus, you can think and say nothing but nonsense. My dear mama also did nothing extraordinary in her exterior life. Even more, in appearance, she did less than some others. She lowered herself to the most ordinary actions of life. She would spin, saw, sweep, light the fire. Who would ever have thought that she was the mother of our God, of a God? Her external actions indicated nothing of this. And when she carried me in her womb, containing the eternal word within herself, each motion of hers, each human action, won the adoration of the whole creation. From her came out the life and the preservation of all creatures. The sun hung upon her, expecting the preservation of its light and of its heat. The earth, the development of the life of the plants, everything hovered around her. And I just think that is wonderful how Our Lady, she was so surrendered to God, and she was so little in the eyes of others, but not from the eyes of our Lord. And I feel that sometimes we as humans, we tend to not like get the divine will, because we are so used to do extraordinary things, like be so busy. And no, you just gotta be little. Like, it takes me back to the gospel when Jesus is visiting Martha and Maria and Mary, and Martha is working so hard and Mary is just sitting at the feet of the Lord, listen to what he's saying. And Martha asks Jesus like, hey, like, tell her to help me. And Jesus just tell her like, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There's need of only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. And it's just amazing to me to just, it relate. Everything is related. Everything is divine will. So we just got to be little. And yeah, let the divine will to work in us.
Yeah, sound advice you're repeating that our blessed Lord tells us. You know, I love that quote too when Jesus tells Louisa, you're to look like you're doing nothing while you're doing everything. And that goes for us too. You know, you mentioned about the presentation, sister. In day 23 of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, our blessed lady speaks to Louisa and she says, quote, my dear daughter, do not move from my side. And that means us too, not move from our lady's side. Follow me everywhere. 40 days from the birth of the little King Jesus are about to sound when the divine fiat calls us, the Holy Family, to the temple in order to fulfill the law of the presentation of my son, Jesus. So we went to the temple. It was the first time that we went out together with my sweet baby. A vein of sorrow opened in my heart. I was going to offer him as victim for the salvation of all, end quote. And I think that, again, to your point, sister, about Our Lady being the perfect example, you know, God calls us to give up even holy things. Our Lady demonstrated that here. Jesus tells us in volume 17, don't be surprised if you see that they do not understand, because to understand this gift, they would have to dispose themselves to make the greatest sacrifice of all, which is not to give life, even in holy things, to their own will, end quote. And Our Lady in day 22 tells us, my child, the divine will is intransigent. It doesn't move and desires all, even sacrifices in the holiest things, but always according to the circumstances, end quote. So again, this was pain, this was sorrow, this was immense sorrow for Our Lady, but she was giving up even holy things, the life of her son, for a greater good, to do the will of the Father. It's the greatest leap of faith, the divine will. And that's what he's looking for. When I return, will I find faith? Will he find anyone following and living in the divine will? I think he will. Mother, sisters.
Oh, hello, everybody. It's beautiful, you know, to really think of Our Lady's feast. Today is called the day of the great event. It is because two big events happen today. It is the presentation of our Lord and the purification of the Blessed Mother. And think about this. Our Lord doesn't need to offer turtle doves or the pigeons, because that is offering for sins, but our Lord doesn't have sin. And our Blessed Mother doesn't need to be purified because she's perpetually immaculate. But their obedience to the Lord, the obedience to God, to become that perfect examples for all of us, is that they had to do this. And I would like to add to quotations that you had. This is from our day 5 of the Meditation of Our Lady's book. And she talks about her sacrifices by her fiat, perpetual fiat. And it's through the middle patch of the meditation. And it says, to sacrifice oneself for one day, now yes, now no, is easy. But to sacrifice oneself in every instant, in every act, even in the very good one wants to do, for one's entire life without ever giving life to one's own will, is the sacrifice of sacrifices. It is the greatest proof that can be offered. It is the purest love filtered through the divine will itself that can be given to our Creator. This sacrifice is so great that God cannot ask anything more than the creature, nor can she find how to sacrifice more for her Creator. So the question here is, how are we going to live in this divine will to emulate Our Lady's continuous fiat? I mean, I know for sure, for me, I couldn't do this on my own. But like Mother was sharing earlier about the acts and rounds of the divine will. So, Peter, we mentioned in the previous cenacle that, and you mentioned earlier, that God's greatest gift to us human beings is the human will. He's never given any tree will or sun will or moon will, only us, the creature, the humanity, given this great gift of divine will. Divine will, apart from God, is evil. But when he gave us this human will as greatest gift, because this is ultimately the best gift we can give to God. This is what the Blessed Mother did. Her human will, she totally gave to God nonstop. So we are given this will as well, human will, so that we can offer it to God. And this is the greatest sacrifice, not for one day when it's convenient or anything. And so this is the acts and rounds. So we give our human will to God, and he give to us the divine will. And Mother mentioned earlier the divinity and the humanity. That is the purpose of Jesus coming down to earth, the Word become flesh, so that not only we can share in his divinity, because he didn't stop being God, we can also share in his humanity. So that in our acts, like Sister sharing earlier, that the little acts that we do, that can, if that little act, moving, sleeping, moving our fingers, doing little acts that is probably not even noticeable by many, when this is done in divine will, this becomes the greatest act of all. So it's the acts and rounds. We can know for sure. But then when you mentioned earlier, previously, Peter, this can only be possible when we are in the state of grace. Because when we continue to live in a state of sin, this is impossible to mix divinity and our sin. So we need to really go back to the church, to listen to the church, learn the Bible, the precepts of the church, what it teaches, to live in this grace, to go to confession, so that we can participate in this work of God. And one word comes to mind: obedience. And I would like to share with you a passage that I got from Volume 2, August 17, 1899, The Power and Office of Lady Obedience. And this is very important because obedience is very, very hard to do for all of us. And so this morning, after receiving communion, I was saying to my lovable Jesus, how is it that this virtue of obedience is so impertinent and sometimes so strong as to reach the point of being capricious? And he, Jesus, says, do you know why this noble lady obedience is as you say? Because she gives death to all vices, and naturally, one who has to inflict death upon someone else must be strong and courageous. If he does not succeed with this, he will use impertinences and caprices. If this is necessary in order to kill the body, which is so fragile, much more so in order to give death to vices and to one's own passions. In fact, it is so hard that sometimes, while they seem to be dead, they begin to live again. And so this diligent lady is always in motion and spying continuously. If she sees that the soul raises the slightest difficulty at what is commanded of her, fearing that some vice may begin to live again in her heart, she wages such a war against her and gives her no peace until the soul prostrates herself at her feet and does, in mute silence, whatever she wants. This is why she is so impertinent and almost capricious, as you say. Now, this reminds me the fact that lady obedience does not stop until you do it. This is our conscience, the illumination of conscience, or what we say, guilt, because the law is written in our heart, and this law is the law of love. Peter mentioned earlier and several times, other times, is to move God. And this is really the focal point of our purpose here, to live in the divine will, is to move God. And to move God is to love him. And that, what is the law that God gave us? To love God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our being, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So basically the center is love. So it is already written in our heart. And when we do away from what is written in our heart, then we feel guilty. That's where but the guilt comes from the proper formation. That's what we have to form as a child, to do the right thing, to do what is moral. So that when we have proper formation, then we can know the right thing and the wrong thing, and we can have this gift of self-knowledge. And a little bit of obedience, you know, sometimes we think of obedience as somebody commanding us, and then we do as we are told. But when we reach the point of maturity in spiritual life, we know that obedience doesn't limit to when someone is being told. What obedience also means is to be able to anticipate the needs of others, not giving to our own want and desire, but giving to what is good for the other and what is good for all. For example, the Lord tells the children to obey their parents, but the parents ought to obey as well the children. But how can a baby give a command to the father? Well, the father or the mother can obey the baby by providing the baby what it needs, because this is what God's will for him to do as a father. So being obedient is not only by doing what we are asked to do, but anticipating. What about husband and wives? How can they obey each other? Do husbands need to tell the wife all the time, or the wife tell the husband? No, the husband anticipate what the wife needs. What he doesn't have to be told to throw the garbage or to do the heavy thing. Doing it without being asked is itself obedience, and the wife is the same way. So obedience is anticipating what is the need of other and what is good for all. Does it make any sense? So now I'll continue to this one. Yes, there is no true peace without obedience. And if it seems that one may enjoy peace, it is a false peace because it gets along with one's own passions, but never with virtues. And one ends up in ruin because by moving away from obedience, one moves away from me, who was the king of this noble virtue. I have a story on this one, short story. One person that says, okay, Lord, for this Lent, I give up a donut. So he was on his way to work. He found a donut shop and he had his craving for donut. And he said, Lord, if I find a parking spot in front of the donut, that means you want me to have donut. So he passed by there and there was no spots for donut. And so he says, well, I'll go around. So he keeps going around until he finds a spot for the parking lot for donut. So that what I'm saying to say, he thinks he's obeying God, but really he's obeying himself and ended up regretting because he ended up eating the donut and he broke his promise. So that's one example. And then continue last paragraph here. It says, moreover, obedience kills one's own will and pours the divine in torrents, so much so that one can say that the obedient soul no longer lives for her will, but of the divine. Can there ever be a life more beautiful, more holy than to live of the will of God himself? With the other virtues, even the most sublime, there can be love of self, but with obedience, never. One thing also example for obedience is that knowing your position, knowing what you're asked to do. Like, for example, at your work, in your office, if you're in charge of doing one thing, don't step. Some people are busy doing other people's job and they don't do their job. That is not being obedience either. Obedience is by doing what you're supposed to do. But don't get into other people's job, because that's not being obedient either.
I sound like a business manager there, sister, for a moment there. Wow, that's very, very important. You mentioned the state of grace really quickly. I know we don't have much time. Jesus tells us there's just four requirements. He says, number one, we have to be in the state of grace. Number two, we have to possess an ardent desire. Number three, we must have an upright intention. And four, we must ask for this gift. But remember, even if we possess all four of these attributes, this is a gift. It's nothing we've earned. So it's a mystical gift, which is given unequally, not like our baptismal gifts. So again, to give thanksgiving to God, just the fact that we recognize this divine will as being something extraordinary is a mystical gift in of itself. Sisters?
Hello. So as Sister Pamela was saying earlier, Our Lady is a great example of like total obedience and surrender and just giving her fiat to God. And today on the presentation in Our Lady's book, I remember something that Our Lady said, how she submitted Jesus to the circumcision, and even her and Saint Joseph cried, but she still gave Jesus, God her fiat at that moment, and still even baby Jesus cried, but Mother Mary still said fiat at that moment. So what I like to read today, it's from Volume 12, February 2nd, 1921. The third fiat must run together with the other two fiats. These three fiats have the same value and power because they contain the creative power. So I'll just read like a little passage from here. Billions and billions of acts of grace which communicate themselves to souls come out from the fiat mihi of my mama, from which redemption took origin. These acts of grace are more beautiful, more shining, more varied than stars, and while the stars are fixed, they do not multiply. The acts of grace multiply to infinity. They run in every instant, attract the creatures, delight them, strengthen them, and give them life. If creatures could see the supernatural order of grace, they would hear such harmonies and see such an enchanting scene as to believe that that's their paradise. Now the third fiat too must run together with the other two fiats. It must multiply to infinity, and in every instant, it must give as many acts for as many acts of grace as are unleashed from my womb, for as many stars, for as many drops of water, and for as many created things as were unleashed by the fiat of creation. It must merge with them and say, as many acts as you are, so many I do. So we can see from here the uncountable effects of Our Lady's fiat to God. When the angel Gabriel came to Our Lady, he told her God's divine will for her, and she said fiat. And from that fiat came redemption. And from Our Lady's fiat, her fiat affected past, present, and future also. And the same thing with Arfiat. You may think, oh, like doing this, like God's will for me, saying Fiat at this moment, it will only affect the present moment. But in reality, our fiat to God now, it has the power to affect even the future. And the beautiful thing that I really loved about this passage is that these stars of grace, they're more numerous than the stars in the sky. And like how much and how many beautiful effects that our fiat, that accepting God's divine will has in our lives. And I don't remember exactly which volume it was, but Jesus tells Luisa that to make sure that the stars that you have in your soul aren't less than the stars that are in this celestial sky. And the more we do acts around in the divine will, then that's how we can multiply these stars in our souls. And saying fiat to Jesus at every moment, that's an additional star we can give to Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacinta. Mother, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left. I'd like to come back to you for your final comments, because you usually package your final comments into a final prayer also, which is so beautiful.
Okay, well, to continue on what I was just talking about earlier, about like it being a symphony, our Lord told Luisa, this is in volume 25, my daughter, all creation forms a celestial band, because each created thing contains light, the power of my word, fiat, that produces the most beautiful music. And just as each created thing is not like any of the others, in the same way, my divine volition in creating them with its creating word, just as it made them one distinct from the other, so it placed in them a distinct sound, like many notes, just such as to form the most beautiful concert that no terrestrial music can imitate. The multiplicity of the sounds with the corresponding notes is so great, for as many as are the created things. So the heavens contain one sound. Each star has its distinct sound. The sun has another. And so with all the rest, these sounds are nothing other than the participation in the harmony that my divine will possesses. In fact, as it pronounces its fiat by producing the generative, communicative, and fecundating virtue, wherever it is pronounced, it leaves its beautiful qualities of light, of beauty, and of an unreachable harmony. Is it perhaps not its communicative virtue that communicated so much beauty, order, and harmony in the whole universe? And is it not by its breath alone that it nourishes the whole creation, maintaining it fresh and beautiful, just as it created it? Oh, if creatures will let themselves be nourished by the breath of my omnipotent fiat, all evils would no longer have life in them. Its generative and nourishing virtue would communicate to them light, beauty, order, and the most beautiful harmony. What can my fiat not do and give? Everything. So I encourage everyone out there, if you don't have the writings, Divine Will writings, get them. You can email us to get them. They're all over the internet, you know. You can ask for those. You can order them from Blanc Printing in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. I think the phone number is 412-221-6400. That's 412-221-6400. It's a good translation. They're very well bound. They're not a publishing company, so they're not being disobedient in printing them and selling them. They sell them pretty much for the cost that they make, it costs to make them. But they're beautiful. This is a beautiful gift. Don't let it go by the wayside. Embrace it. Grab it. God wants you to have it. He wants you to take it. He wants you to live totally for Him. He loves you so much. He's longing for you to come to Him and to learn about His divinity and live His life with Him. He loves you so much. He wants to relive His life within you. He just wants you to call Him into everything you do, realize His presence within. The Trinity dwells in you. You're a walking tabernacle. He's with you always. He knows everything you do, everything you think, all your motives. He doesn't miss a beat. He's there with you, and He just wants you to realize He's there and love Him as He loves you. He loves you. Love Him back. The Divine Will is all about a round of love, God loving us and us returning that love to Him through all of His gifts.
Right. Amen. Greatest gift. Jesus says, I told you many times that the mission of calling a soul to live in my will is the greatest one. It's the highest and most sublime call. There's no other call that can match it. Volume 14, August 23rd, 1922. Thanks be to God for today. Thank you, Mother, Sisters, and thank you, Radio Maria. Please remember Radio Maria and your charity, and mention that relic card, and you'll receive it, whether it be on the Encore presentations or the archives. We'll get it to you as soon as possible. Thanks be to God. Bye, everyone. Mm-hmm.